WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House, and ABC's Karen Travers says their meeting takes place as the Trump administration pushes Ukraine to accept a ceasefire with Russia.
Zelensky is pushing the Trump administration to commit to security guarantees for his country to prevent Russia from threatening it again. But President Trump has said it is not the responsibility of the U.S., and European nations should handle peacekeeping efforts in Ukraine after the war. The two leaders are expected to sign an agreement related to Ukraine's mineral resources.
Today, the White House says President Trump will designate English the official language of the United States and rescind a Clinton-era order that required federal funding recipients to provide language services for non-English speakers. Commerce Department data showed personal incomes rose in January, but Americans cut their spending by 0.2 percentage points and 22 more measles cases in Texas, now in 9 counties. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A Nina man was sentenced to 4 years in prison Thursday for stabbing his brother 18 times. 27-year-old Darnell McCauley was convicted of aggravated battery and recklessly endangering safety for the incident in Nina in December of 2023. The victim was treated for wounds to his arm, neck, head, shoulder, and back, and he was treated for a punctured lung. He survived that attack. The judge also ordered 6 years of extended supervision for McCauley after he serves his sentence. Wisconsin Republicans are once again trying to pass a law that would ban gender-affirming health care for trans kids. Savannah Tomei Olson has the story.
The law would apply to anyone under age 18. For trans folks, gender-affirming care can include puberty blockers, hormones, and surgery. Republicans say the proposal protects kids who are, quote, easily swayed by peer pressure and the opinions of others, end quote. But the LGBTQ plus caucus says the bill is, quote, deeply harmful, cruel, and dangerous, end quote. Advocates say the treatment saves lives, and medical experts at groups like the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry say blocking this access can increase suicide rates. Republicans in the legislature passed a similar bill in 2023. It was vetoed by Governor Tony Evers. Of course, this comes at a time when the new presidential administration is working to curb the rights of trans folks as well. According to the Williams Institute at UCLA, about 6,400 teens in Wisconsin identify as trans. That's under 2% of minors aged 13 to 17 statewide. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.FM.
Wisconsin players headed to the NFL. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. 300 of the best college football players here to interview and work out for NFL teams. One of them, Badgers safety Hunter Wohler, who saw his team fall to 5-7 and miss playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. I asked Wohler, who grew up in Muskego, Wisconsin, how concerned is he about the Badgers football program?
It's going in the right direction. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years haven't exactly been what I envisioned, what Coach Fickell has envisioned, but like, Coach Fick's a great coach. I have 100% faith that he's gonna get that program in the right place.
NBA, Bucks with a win over the Denver Nuggets, 121-112. Milwaukee getting help from guys off the bench in the fourth quarter, like Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, they made a great run for us. That cushion, that momentum, that was huge for us. You know, and again, I think as great as they've been, I think they're going to be so much better a few weeks, a month down the line, which is scary to think.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Battling brutal winds today, sustained out of the northwest at 25 to 35 miles per hour with gusts approaching 40 to 50. A wind advisory is in effect until 6 o'clock. And as the front blasts through, chances for spotty sprinkles flip to some flurries through the evening and temps crash. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes?
With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director and driving force behind the film Green and Gold, Anders Lindwall. Comedian James Connolly and Max Inc. co-host Terry Barr joins us for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air, a Friday edition of Matinee on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinee, who is out today, but we're returning next week. We miss her and hope she's doing well on this Friday. I want to thank Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area / Civic Media's political editor for stopping by and hanging out with us for the first hour, getting to talk to some of you out there, the listeners and the live streamers. We appreciate you reaching out to us. Right now, you are we're in hour two with Sweet Cal B on the board. Calvin, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Greg. I'm glad it's Friday. We made it through another week.
I feel like you're always glad it's Friday because I feel like you always will have a weekend of it'll be reading, relaxing, and maybe some movies. I mean, that's how it feels like. That's how you roll.
Yeah, that is how I roll. So I'm looking forward to it.
We got a text message from David New Berlin. He says, DeKalvinator sounds like a weapon. I'm sticking with Dr. Slide. He said, thanks for the AC/DC bump music yesterday. Sir, you're really pretty. People love the music you play, Calvin. They really, really enjoy it. And I do as well. The first hour is very 90s. Foo Fighters, Red Hot Chili Peppers, very, very nice. Took me back to high school. But you can be a part of the conversation simply by calling, texting, same number, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC, or if you're on the live stream right now watching us live, we are on Facebook, we are on YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter in this house. You can do that. You can drop a comment on the live stream. Love hearing from all of you out there as well. And just so you know, you can subscribe to the Civic Media Digest by go to civicmedia.us/email. You can get top podcast hours from your favorite Civic Media programs, news and commentary from the Civic Media team, and learn about what's going on across the entire statewide network. And it comes to your inbox each week. We won't spam you. We'll send you exactly what you're looking for. You can go civicmedia.us/email for the digest. Now, something that, Calvin, something that we've talked about before in the past is about keeping our eye on the prize, keeping our eye on the ball. Don't mind the squirrels. And there's a lot of squirrels in this current administration. There are a lot of squirrels happening. And I saw something that came across the desk from the Wall Street Journal. I'll just read the headline coming from Meredith McGraw in the Wall Street Journal. Trump to sign executive order making English official U.S. language. Well, Calvin, thank goodness. Immigration, don't worry about it, not a problem. Crime, not a problem. Jobs, not a problem. The price of eggs, not a problem. We're keeping our focus on something like English as a national language. Calvin, does that make you sleep better at night as an American?
Well, it doesn't make sense because from my awareness,
yes,
all official government proceedings occur in English.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
All national media is broadcast in English.
Yes.
So the only thing that this means is it's going to be taking away accessibility for people who are new to the country or English is their second language.
Yeah. And also, and I'll put something next to that, too. If you want to become a U.S. citizen, you must be proficient in English, unless you have a special waiver, which is what I also read. But if you want to become a U.S. citizen, you have to learn English. That makes sense. That is a predominant language. But for over 250 years, we have not had an official language. The founders did not want an official language in this country because many of them spoke other languages as well. There are some of our most prized documents are written in other languages. Now, I don't want to get too deep in this, Cal, because this, in my opinion, is a shiny red ball of a squirrel. This is meant to take our attention from what's important going on right now in our backyard, whether it's right here in your hometown, right here in the state of Wisconsin, or in the United States of America. But the fact that he's trying to make English as the national language means he's trying to make sure we don't see other things that are happening on his watch. So what I really want to hear from you folks is, are there things happening right now, whether it's your municipality, whether it's the state? Text it in, call it in, 855-752-4842, 855-757-CIVIC. What are the non-squirrels that you think we should be aware of? I'm going to read off. I've got some stuff here, too, but if there's other things, I don't see everything all the time. But, you know, is there a school board race that we need to pay attention to? We've got a spring election coming up on April the 1st, and I will talk about in a moment. But we need to keep our eyes on the prize and not let something like this get in the way of keeping our leaders accountable, especially this White House and especially Wisconsin State House. Something that it literally popped up in my inbox here, something that, you know, from a health side, with Elon Musk taking a chainsaw to the NIH, him wanting to make severe cuts. There's 150 cases of measles, nearly 150 cases of measles found in Texas at this point. That I don't feel like is being talked about enough. English as the national language, okay, fine. That can be page two or three. That's not front page to me. Something like this, Calvin, is really important because this has to do with access to healthcare. And if we are cutting, slash and burn through DOGE, my guess is that certain programs that will allow vaccinations or just research in and of itself will be restricted, and that is not good. What say you to that, Calvin?
Well, yeah, I think the measles outbreak is definitely concerning, especially when you have a character like Robert F. Kennedy as the Secretary of Public Health. As part of a press conference either yesterday or Wednesday, he didn't even have the facts correct.
No.
He was unaware. He misreported how many people had died. He was misrepresenting the frequency of outbreaks of diseases like measles. It's just, yeah, it's scary. And this is what really we should be focusing on is the nation's health.
Yeah. One side, you got a guy with a chainsaw hacking away at our economy, and you got another guy who has no business being the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and meanwhile we have people suffering, and a lot of these people are unvaccinated and probably due to misinformation and things of that nature coming from where it is. A lot of those cases are happening in Texas. Another thing that I was looking at stories today and I wanted to talk about, I feel like Trump's handling of the Ukraine situation is not good, personally. I feel like him referring to Volodymyr Zelensky as a dictator is, if it wasn't so serious, it would be laughable. If this was a movie, it would be laughable, but it's not. And one of the things I found out about this whole thing, one of the reasons why Trump really, really wants there to be peace between Russia and Ukraine is because there are rare earth reserves in Ukraine that he wants to access. And the sooner that he can get a peace agreement going, the sooner he might be able to do that. And the question I have is how is he working with Zelensky to get that peace when he won't even go into a room with him, not yet at least, and he's bowing down to people like Vladimir Putin. But one of the things that I found interesting, and I just want you to know this, and by the way, these stories are all going to be in the notes for today's show is that because of the war that Putin started 3 years ago this month, the mining infrastructure for those rare earth materials has been wiped out, and it would take an initial investment of $10 billion. Are they going to get the money from us? Where are we going to get that? Is that going to be from the slash and burn savings that Elon has? Because I'd like to know more about that. That is more important to me than English as the national language. I don't know about you, Cal, but I want Ukraine to have freedom. I want there to be a peace between Russia and Ukraine. I don't want it to be like a Middle East situation where we're trying to broker a peace just to get to their rare earth minerals.
Well, yeah, and then, again, I don't like to go just talk about too much about this because it borders a little into conspiracy, but yeah. You have individuals like Tulsi Gabbard confirmed as the director of national intelligence, who there is very strong evidence that she is compromised by Russian intelligence. Yeah. And then when you see Donald Trump behave this way and make these remarks, it really makes you wonder.
Well, and it's also the fact that he just can change his mind at the drop of the hat. See TikTok, you know, all of a sudden he wants a peace brokered in Ukraine. Well, now there's mineral interests, and that's usually how it goes for something like that when you get to the White House. You're right, Calvin. I don't want to move into conspiracy theories as well. Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Mark, what's up with how are you doing today?
You know, doing okay. But the most disturbing part of this is that the Trump family and Trump allies are profiting from all this stuff. I mean, that they're starting up new businesses that Trump is deregulating and Musk is deregulating for them. Musk has awarded himself contracts. This complete violation of the Emoluments Clause, if not the letter, the spirit of the Emoluments Clause, which more or less says you're not supposed to be profiteering off your office, your time in office. Mm. I mean, all the president's entire salary during his time in office is supposed to be just his salary. That's all he's supposed to be getting paid, but he's finding a way to pay himself through his family and his businesses and all that, which is not, you know, gotten away from, you know, during his time in office, but just profiteering. I mean, it's just pure and simple profiteering, and he's not being held accountable for it because Pam Bondi is certainly not going to do anything about it. Another corrupt person. I mean, took $25,000 off of Trump's campaign went back in the day and to not pursue the whole for Florida to pursue the Trump U University down there. I mean, it is just it's horrifying. Just when I was in state service, I actually took my job pretty seriously. I didn't find ways of profiteering when I was in state service, even though it was one or two times I probably could have, but I chose not to, and that if you go into public service, you're not supposed to serve yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Mark, for calling. I appreciate it. We're coming up on a break here. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, is like, and remember, don't forget that all this cutting that Doge is doing, this is clearly to create enough money out there to give billionaires and multimillionaires their tax cuts, get them right back that money because they don't think they have to pay their taxes. But you and I do because we're just normal people without power. We're going to take a quick break, go get a snack, stay hydrated. Don't go far. We're going to keep looking at the text coming through. If you got thoughts on this, give a call 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or drop a comment on the live stream. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Community is more than where you live. It's the people in it who show up each day and help it thrive. During Black History Month and year-round, AARP recognizes the everyday excellence of those who give back to their Wisconsin communities. They believe when efforts drive change for the greater good, everyone thrives together. Connect and learn what AARP is doing locally and how they can make the communities better for all ages. Visit aarp.org/WI. Paid for by AARP.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Three elected officials in the Pennsylvania borough of Millburn are being arraigned on mail and voter fraud charges relating to a 2021 attempt to manipulate a town mayoral election. The Delaware County Daily Times reports that two borough council members allegedly recruited willing voters outside the Philadelphia suburb to support a third council member's write-in campaign for mayor. The town of 1,200 residents has only 549 registered voters and one of the highest concentrations of citizens of South Asian descent in the country. The three allegedly solicited personal information from the outside voters, then logged in and changed their state voter registration addresses on the state voter information portal to a Millburn address. The Daily Times quoted the indictment as alleging, in total, defendants Muhammad Nural Hassan, Muhammad Mansour Ali, and Muhammad Rafkol Islam falsely registered nearly three dozen non-Millburn residents as Millburn voters and cast ballots for those non-Millburn voters in the 2021 general election for mayor of Millburn, unquote. Hassan still lost the election 165-138. Defendant Islam was arraigned February 25th, and Ali and Hassan face a judge February 27th. Actual voter fraud remains exceedingly rare nationwide and even more rarely affects the outcome of elections despite partisan disinformation. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is out today, but we're returning back next week. Hope she's having a lovely day. You got me here at the mic. You also got sweet Cal B, Dr. Slide. Hey, Cal, really quick, do you have a favorite nickname of all of them? Or is there one that we just haven't happened upon that you enjoy?
I like the variety. Variety is the spice of life.
Folks, he doesn't talk much. When he does, it's always golden. You want to say something, Cal?
No, that's all I got.
Okay. You were holding on the mic like a mic. He's going to say something. Oh, it's going to be great. Welcome back to the show. We appreciate you being here. If you want to be part of the conversation, call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the site that we in this house still call Twitter. There's a lot of sports happening this weekend, Cal, right here on the Civic Media Network. Lots of it. Did you know that? Do you know how much sports we have here at Civic Media?
We have lots, especially if you like baseball.
Especially baseball, because tomorrow, the 1st of March, by the way, which, not a fan of that happening so quickly. Milwaukee is taking on the Texas Rangers at 2 p.m. That's when the broadcast starts. You can hear those on WRCE 107.7 FM, 1450 AM in Richland Center, or WISS 98.3 FM, 1100 AM in Oshkosh. You can also, on Sunday, you can choose between, well, actually, you can listen to the Wisconsin Badgers versus Michigan State game. That's an 11:30 broadcast start, and you can hear that on WLAK 107.5 and 1260 AM in Amory. Amory. That's fun to do. And then after that, Milwaukee is taking on the Cleveland Guardians. More spring training action, once again, on WRCE, WISS, and WBZH. So all weekend, you can listen to sports all weekend long here on Civic Media. Would love to have you come aboard and let us know what you think of the game. Let us know what you think of the Brewers. I'm as Fran Hong would say, nauseously optimistic about their prospects this year because a lot of tumult. But before, we were talking about keeping your eye on the prize and letting the squirrels go past. President Trump apparently is going to be signing another executive order with a giant signature saying that English is the national language, which I'm sure has all sorts of precedent and law backing it up, which makes it immediate. But what we wanted to talk to you about were the more important things that are affecting us in our backyard, in our state house, in our federal government. And that is the thing we need to keep our eyes on the prize about. And another thing I wanted to talk about really quick, we will be talking about this more as the weeks go up by with the April 1 election, which is a question on our ballot this 1st of April, which will be to enshrine voter ID in the Wisconsin Constitution. We will be having Deb Cronmiller on the show, I believe March the 12th or the 13th. I have to look at that. But she will be on the show talking about, she is the executive director of League of Women Voters Wisconsin, talking about this constitutional amendment question. And remember something, that last year there was, I believe, a question on every single ballot we did. And Robin Voss has no plans in stopping. He wants to keep putting them on the ballot. And he wants to keep trying to put things in the Constitution that make no sense. And voter ID is one of them. This does not solve a problem. This is, as we've said before, a problem or a solution in search of a problem. And I personally do not believe that we need to put this. We already have a law on the book saying that we have to have it. And that I could talk to you about for hours on end. But to put it into the Constitution, it is not necessary. It doesn't make our elections safer. There is data that backs that up. And we will be talking more about that in the coming weeks. That is an important thing to keep your eye on. That is an important news topic to talk to your friends about when you're talking about the upcoming election. We've said it before. April 1 elections, spring elections aren't the sexiest in the world. There's not a lot on the ballot. We're going to be voting for the superintendent of the DPI. We're going to be voting for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Those are very important, but they're not Senate. They're not president. So you need to get out there, get that vote going, talk to your friends. If you have any questions, you can always go to myvote.wi.gov. You can put in your information. That information will come out, will show you where your polling place is. It will tell you whether or not you are registered. If you're not registered, you can register through My Vote for the time being, up until, I believe, 2 weeks before the election. You can also find out who represents you. And those, and that website will give you phone numbers. And if you have questions, comments, problems, or concerns, you can always call your alderman, county supervisor, congressman, senator, the president, and tell them how you are feeling about certain topics. But we want you to be informed, and we want you to keep your eyes off of those squirrels, things like English as a national language, which is so dumb, Calvin. I'll say it out loud. So dumb. A lot of history goes behind that executive order, and a lot of it comes from a place called the John Birch Society. So we just want you to be informed. We want you to talk to your friends. We want you to share what you know and share your hearts with them and get them out to the polls, because that's the most important thing. Make a plan. Get your friends together. Go for lunch afterwards. But being a voter is one of the most important things. It's your duty. It's a right. And we want you to get out there. So was going to talk about Derek Van Norton and his staff skipping a listening session, but we didn't get that. We could probably talk about that next week. But yeah, coming up when we come back from the break, we want to know from you folks, what is your most irrational fear? Irrational. Not a common one, but irrational. You're going to call us 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC is the number. You definitely want to hear from you on that one. You can also text it. You can text it on the text line, or you can drop it in the live stream. We are on Facebook, we are on YouTube, and the website that we still call Twitter in this house. But don't go very, very far. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going to Wichita.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Timber Smith is a formidable force in the Fox Valley community, working for the City of Appleton as the Special Assistant to the Mayor for Community, Culture, and Belonging. Smith is also the co-host of the city's Appleton Engaged podcast. Smith says it's his job to create a more connected community for Appleton residents.
We're just people, and we want good things for our families, and we want safety, and we want good schools for our kids, and we want a good job that we feel respected in. We're not different. So when I'm doing these podcasts, I'm hoping to strip back some of the layers to show through narrative, through answering of questions, through whatever, that we sure share a whole lot together, and that's what makes us community, and we should probably take care of each other.
As a Black man working within the Fox Valley community, he appreciates Black History Month efforts and especially likes stories that feature a modern, everyday look at African-American lives.
Because there are so many stereotypes and so many sometimes just blatantly wrong narratives associated with African-Americans in the country, to have a spotlight of us just being and doing what every other American does, I think there's just so much to that. That needs to be acknowledged more and celebrated more.
Outside of his work for community culture and belonging in Appleton, Smith also extends his reach to the entire Fox Valley community with his personal podcast, The Kosh, for connecting community, promoting service, and encouraging belonging for all living in the Fox Valley area. Timber Smith is a modern-day Black history maker. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The legendary Gene Hackman has passed away at the age of 95. If you haven't already heard, Hackman, his wife Betsy Arakawa, a classically trained pianist, and the couple's dog were found in their New Mexico home. Authorities say they had been dead for a while. Hackman was the star of films like The French Connection, The Poseidon Adventure, Mississippi Burning, The Conversation, and Hoosiers. The late great Hackman moved to Pasadena, California in 1952 after he got out of the Marines and met Dustin Hoffman at the Pasadena Playhouse, where both were voted least likely to succeed. Seems like a pretty cruel award to give to another adult. Despite not having leading man looks, Hackman says he never cared about that and just wanted to act in any capacity. Hackman retired from acting in 2004 and moved to New Mexico, where he became involved in the arts community and wrote books. Gene Hackman is quite often referred to as the greatest American actor. He won Oscars for his role in The French Connection and Unforgiven. Gene Hackman was 95. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Battling brutal winds today, sustained out of the northwest at 25 to 35 miles per hour with gusts approaching 40 to 50. A wind advisory is in effect until 6 o'clock. As the front blasts through, chances for spotty sprinkles flip to some flurries through the evening, and temps crash. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Our old friend Peter Ray Fine of EPOM's World is in with a wacky week in review, and Mr. Zommers rolls out a board game of the week. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I didn't want to break the tension there, Calvin. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is off today. But you got me. You got Sweet Cal B behind the boards playing the dramatic music, because we're going to be talking about your most irrational fears coming up in a little bit. We're happy to have you here. We're lucky to have you here. It's a great Friday. We hope you're enjoying yourself before the weekend. Just want to let you know, following us after the news at noon, we've got Todd Alba, as always, coming to you live and in charge today. He is looking at some of the wackier headlines with this week's in review with Ebomb World Managing Editor Peter Rapine. And then then you can chime in with what you believe is worse in a big corporation edition of today's What's Worse. Also, don't forget, at 11:51, we're going to be having another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing, that today's is the eight-legged undead edition. So stick around for that as well. After Todd will be Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4, Dom Salvia from 4 to 6, and then Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8. We also have our midday, Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8. And then after that, we got great programming as well. Rational Revolution, Tom Hartman, Native Roots. It's great programming happening after us, so stick around. Don't go anywhere. Spend your day with us, your sweet, sweet Friday. We really love hearing from you. We were talking about before about keeping your eye on the prize. Don't let the squirrels get you. Make sure you keep focused on the things that are important. Before we went to break, Susan from McFarland was calling in. Susan, what would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, I was just saying that actually Trump and Robin Voss have something in common. They want to do things by either constitutional amendments or by the stroke of a pen. And I think that the next thing he's going to do is say that Christianity is now the law of the land. And that will be a big push. But I do feel that that's coming down as well. So that's one of my things.
Susan, I don't disagree with you at all. It's, I think that English as a national language is in and of itself a squirrel, but something like that, you pack it together with something, a declaration of that. We're going back to what we talked about last year, Project 2025. It's all right there in that book, 887 pages of how a few hundred people from a few think tanks want to see America turn into. And I think that I saw some squabbling online about English as a national language, it was the usual suspects on both sides saying no and yes. And I think if he tried to do this now and tried to make Christianity the official religion of America, of the United States of America, I think you'd see a far bigger outcry. I think that it is in itself maybe a little bit bigger deal, but it's all coming out of the playbook of Project 2025. That did not go away. They heard of it. They wrote it. People who wrote it are in his White House. It is a bigger deal than people think and give a credit to. And frankly, I think we should keep talking about it because it's something people need to keep familiar with themselves. Susan, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you. Calvin, did you have something to say?
No, I mean, I definitely think Susan is right. It's scary. And I know that I will keep standing up and protesting that kind of thing because it's not what our country is about.
Well, I mean, it's something we have to keep our eyes on. And I don't want people to not pay attention to everything, but I also don't want you to freak out on certain things because, I was in between the break, I was watching a video of two health experts in Texas talking about the problem with the measles outbreak and how what needs to be done, and the fact that some people aren't still treating this like COVID as far as vaccination, the fact that we vaccinated this a long time ago, it was eradicated a long time ago, and now it's back because of misinformation coming from some of the highest offices in the land. But that being said, we're going to move on to the next thing. Second to last, the penultimate, Calvin, the penultimate topic for today's show, Friday, Matt and Air on Air. Before I do that, I want to say hello to Sherry and Horicon. She says on the text line, "Good morning, my friends. I miss Jane. We miss Jane. But you are bringing much joy to my morning." We appreciate that, and we are happy to do that for you. We love having you all listening to us. And you can always drop a comment, text us, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Or if you're on the live stream, it's on Facebook, it's on YouTube, it's on the site we still call Twitter, even though I called it something else earlier. Don't tell anyone. But we love to hear from you. But right now we're talking about irrational fears, Calvin. And when we say irrational fears, Dan was talking about this earlier when he was here. He was talking about the fear of heights. I don't think that's an irrational fear. I feel like that's a huge fear shared by a lot of people. I'm talking about, like, flowers freak you out. And I'm sure I'm sure fear of flowers is something out there. I'm sure there's a name for it. I don't know. It's something phobia. There's also a fear of phobias, Calvin, called phobophobia. That's what it is. Calvin, do you have an irrational fear?
I have an irrational fear, but it's going to sound rational when I first initially start explaining it.
Okay, go for it. The floor is yours.
The ocean, and specifically
just the ocean.
Well, and specifically large creatures in the ocean, freak me out. And seeing videos like we talked about on this shouldn't be a thing of the kayaker getting not swallowed, but in the mouth of the whale. That is terrifying to me.
Yeah.
But what makes it particularly irrational is I've swam in the ocean and I've snorkeled. And when I do that, it didn't freak me out at all. But when I see videos of stuff, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
That's it. Do you think, let's say you were swimming in the ocean just surface level. You're on the surface, you're paddling your feet, you're just enjoying. Would you be more freaked out that way than snorkeling? Like when you're snorkeling, you can see what's going on. You know what's happening around you. And you're probably with somebody, an expert, who can help you out. But when you're just on the surface of the ocean, I can understand that sort of like almost infinite possibilities of creatures underneath.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with being able to see the bottom.
Yeah.
It's not actually the depth. It's not being able to see the bottom.
And that makes sense. Also, you did watch a video of a man on a kayak get inhaled by a whale. I understand why that might freak you out just a skosh. And folks, just so you know, you can always go back and listen to previous episodes, especially This Shouldn't Be a Thing, which is almost a separate like 3 to 5 minute podcast every day. We talk about this. He was fine. He got inhaled and immediately spat up because I guess the whale couldn't process that size of quote unquote food. So I understand why you might have an irrational fear of the ocean in that sense. I get that. And that then, is it irrational? We should have like a little ding thing. We got textures on the line here. Someone listening into WMDX, my irrational fear, earthworms. I know how important they are. I just never want to see them. Interesting. Whenever I see earthworms, I do everything in my power not to step around them or step on them. I give them the right of way because I want to make sure they're alive. Because it's right. They have a very, very important job when it comes to when it comes to the work they do for our lawns. Matt from Richland Center said, same, Calvin. This is a big word. Thalassophobia videos are a great freak out over. My guess is that being swallowed by a whale? I don't know. But Liz from Saukville says, I have an irrational fear of being on the freeway. I'd rather fly. It doesn't make sense, but it's me. Interesting. That's okay. Oh, I get that, though. Jane and I have talked on the show before about the freeway, and there's a lot going on. There's a lot of people happening there, and it's a lot coming up on your sides, going fast, going slow. I understand that one as well. Before the segment got started, Christine in Slinger, listening on WAUK, says, I guess it would be clowns. They all creep me out, and I do not like them anywhere near me, which begs the question, Christine. Are clowns hanging out near you right now? I hope not. But I also feel like that's a shared fear. That's something, Calvin, that a lot of people have. They do, or maybe they don't fear clowns. They just don't like them. There's a difference. I don't like coconut. I don't fear coconut.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between not liking something and a fear. And I guess the difference would be like, how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
Like if it makes like you if one feel of them makes like you afraid. Anxious or nerve. Well, afraid, literally, obviously. But like I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, this is all subjective. That's what I love about it because, you know, you're afraid of earthworms. This person's afraid of earthworms. Okay. I'll never say, well, how can you be afraid of earthworms? I'm not going to question it. You don't like them. You're afraid of them. Then, all right. Ollie in the Northwoods is calling right now. Ollie, what is your irrational fear?
Hello.
Ollie, hello. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Well, I guess my irrational is probably not necessarily irrational for everybody, but going to the dentist, and it's not just the fact of going to the dentist. I have a hard time feeling like I can swallow my saliva and breathe at the same time. So that is a big phobia for me, is being whether or not I can actually breathe.
Gotcha. I mean, hey, thank you so much, Ollie, for calling. We appreciate that. I mean, that is, you know, I'm gonna empathize with you on this one. I don't think that's an irrational fear. I think that's not only a fear a lot of people feel. I have a lot of friends who are afraid of the dentist because they haven't gone enough and they're afraid of what's going to happen. And a friend of mine who had years of work done to correct neglect, one of the things they told him when he got there was, this is a place of non-judgment. We're not going to tell you what you did wrong. We're not going to make fun of you. We're not going to make you feel bad, because that's what people are seriously afraid of. They're afraid of going to their dentist and being like, what did you do? Why don't you brush your teeth? Why don't you take better care? They had to tell him immediately, this is a place of non-judgment, and it made him feel better, and he stayed the entire time for, like I said, years upon years to get all of the work done, and now he's in a much better place. So, Ali, totally understand that fear. And as far as, like, the swallowing mechanism, I get that too. Anytime I had to go to the doctor this week, and she pulled out the little piece of the little stick, and she said, say on, I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. Maybe that's my irrational fear, Calvin. The little wooden stick at the doctor's office.
This, I don't even know if this is irrational. This is like just, I don't even know if this is a fear. This is just something weird about me. But growing up in high school, I hated, or in elementary school, middle school, high school, I hated going to the doctor for a sore throat.
Yeah.
Because I hate getting throat swabbed. I have the worst gag reflex.
Yeah.
And knowing I had to get that done would give me such bad anxiety.
As soon as they pull the thing on and say, I'm like, no, you just, I'll open up wide. You just look. Just trust me to trust you. I do have one irrational fear. My biggest irrational fear is that a car is just going to drive up on a sidewalk and hit me. That's weird. I don't know why. It's not happened to me ever before. It doesn't happen to anyone I've known. But that's one that when I'm walking down the road, I see cars. I'm like, this could be the moment. This could be my moment. Matt in Middleton, he has a fear that one day he will find himself with an appendage in a certain place that I'm not going to get into, and it's going to, oh, I see, he's talking about Trump. Ah, I see what you did there, Matt. Trying to navigate that moment of FCC uncertainty for a Trump joke. Good job, Matt. If you have an irrational fear you want to share with us, go ahead, you can drop that in the text line. You can put in the live stream. We're going to take a break. When we come back, yet another installment of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is Eight-Legged Undead Edition. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WGBW and WGBW.FM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history.
This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's almost here. The 7th annual Fox Cities Kids Expo is coming March 1st. It's coming straight to downtown Appleton from 9 until 2 p.m. This gigantic expo has everything you need to entertain your kids. There's going to be fun. There's going to be education. There's going to be adventure. I saw the word dinosaur while I was looking through it. Everyone loves dinosaurs. Don't have to be just a kid for that. Don't judge me. Learn more because there's way too much for 30 seconds by going to wgbw.fm and click events.
Hey, it's Brian from Heights Pub and Parlor, 217 North Washington Street in Green Bay.
And I'm Ashley. Get your happy hour on every Monday through Thursday, 2 to 6 p.m. with $4 rail mixers and drafts and $3 bottled beers.
Plus, we've upgraded our kitchen. We now use lard in our fryers for healthier, tastier food. Check out our prime Angus burgers, pressed paninis, and our fresh walleye.
Hosting a party? Book our second floor parlor with a third level loft. They're perfect for get-togethers.
Heights Pub and Parlor, online at heightsgb.com or follow us on Facebook.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. Sitting in for Jane Mattenair. We are in our last segment of the show. We are bidding you adieu for a Friday for a good weekend. We hope you have a great weekend lined up for you. We're really happy you're going to be here. Remember, you can always get in touch with us at any show, whether it's Mattenair on Air, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Earl Ingram. You can always do that by dialing 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And I went over a bunch of stuff you could do, whether it's downloading the show as a podcast, checking out our digest, checking out sports on our network. You can find out all that information by going to civicmedia.us. That gives you all the information you need on all the things that we offer to you, our wonderful, wonderful listeners. Before we move on to This Shouldn't Be a Thing, we got a couple more text messages coming in before we during the break. Someone listening on WAUK said, being on a three-lane highway when semis are both sides of me, that is an irrational fear, was what we were just talking about. I get that too. That's gets crazy. I immediately hit the brakes slowly and allow them to pass me. I don't want to be anywhere near two trucks on either side of me. That's no thank you. And then Dez on WMDX listening, it says, I have an irrational fear of large bodies of water as well, so much that I will not take a cruise or take the ferry across Lake Michigan. However, I am fine as long as I can see the shore. I understand that too. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing those irrational fears with us. We appreciate you being open, honest, and vulnerable. Do not forget, Todd Alba follows us after the news from 12 to 2, and we're going to have a really good time celebrating your Friday. But, Calvin, it's 11:53. You know what time it is. What time is it, Calvin?
This shouldn't be a thing.
Today, it is the eight-legged undead edition. Scientists in Europe have identified a previously unknown species of fungus that's turned cave spiders into zombies. All right, right there, Calvin. That first line gets you. The fungus lures them out of their webs before instigating an untimely death and then using the spider's corpses to spread its spores. Gross. I should have said trigger warning. Don't eat your lunch while listening to me talk right now. Holy cow. The newly discovered species named Giblula Attenborei, that was a guess, and if I didn't get that right, I apologize to science, acts in a similar way as the zombie ant fungus. Okay, there's too much zombie happening here. seemingly manipulating its prey to move to a more suitable spot for fungus to spread, according to a study published January 24 in the journal. You're going to want to get a hold of this one, Calvin. Fungal Systematics and Evolution. That is a page-turner. But the way in which the fungus affects the arachnid's brain is still a mystery, and a multitude of questions remain about the fungus' evolutionary pathways and ecological impacts. And when will someone write a movie about this? Because you know, Calvin, they can make a movie out of this. Zombie spiders? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, specifically the zombie spiders is very interesting. But the game franchise, The Last of Us, and it has a TV adaptation.
Yeah.
That came out recently. The zombie infection in that franchise is fungal based.
The way you just popped an eyebrow, like it's gonna happen. Meh. I'm gonna put the link to the article in the show notes, and there are pictures of these things. They look like frozen, like literally frozen in snow spiders. The scientists went on to say, we know very well the ants, the wasps, and very, very few other examples, and now this is a different family, so it's a new origin of behavior manipulation. A mycologist at the Natural History Museum of Denmark and assistant professor at the University of Copenhagen said, it's something really interesting that's not super common in the parasitic world. Well, great. I like how scientists can just be like, yes, this is very interesting. Meanwhile, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, this is how we go. This is a zombie spider apocalypse, Calvin. I feel like you could see that coming. You read a lot of fantasy books.
Yeah, zombie isn't my preferred genre, but yeah, it's definitely, I hope against hope that if something like that were to happen, our scientific community would be able to react in time to not have an apocalypse of zombified people walking around. But it's definitely, I don't even want to say it's a possibility because it seems insane.
Well, Calvin, my big hope then is that we still have a scientific community who can combat the problem if it comes up. So if you see a spider that looks like it's frozen in snow, step around it. It might not be cold. It might just be a zombie. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Calvin, for everything you do for us. We really appreciate you. We appreciate the engineers for, as Jane says, without you guys, none of this happens. We really, really appreciate all the work you do. I appreciate all the listeners who called, who texted in, who commented on the live stream today. We can't do this without you. We appreciate you listening and love you to death. We hope you have a wonderful Friday. News is coming up next, and then stick around for the Todd Alba Show. But as I always say before, don't worry. Get some water, stay hydrated, and you are awesome. You are amazing. Let no one tell you differently. You've been listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe. See you Monday. Bye-bye.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The Green Bay Correctional Institute. Discussions with Village President Jim Rafter and Prison Guard Joe Vertigan.
Sunday afternoons at 1 on 97.9 WGBW and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. In a key meeting at the White House today, President Trump and Ukraine's President Zelensky discussing an end to Russia's war in Ukraine and finalizing a mineral rights deal between the U.S. and Ukraine. ABC's Tom Sufi Burich has more.
The minerals deal is important. In theory, it's that framework that ties U.S. and Ukrainian economic interests together in Ukraine going forward. But I think it's not the main show. I mean, the main show is ultimately at how you reach a ceasefire on the ground and what the security guarantees will be. And it doesn't look like there'll be many references to security guarantees in this minerals agreement.
Pope Francis remains in a Rome hospital for pneumonia. The Vatican says he continues to improve. Doctors say it will take more days of clinical stability before they know if the Pope is out of danger. In Los Angeles, the red carpet is out and final preps are underway for this Sunday's Academy Awards. The Oscars air on ABC.